There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
For joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I'm Miss Shannon. I am broadcasting from my home studio, but my podcasting co-host and life mate, Jayton Satia, is broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. Hey, Jayton.
Hey. See, we're all going nuts over here. Hey, Shannon.
It hasn't been that long. You're not allowed to go nuts yet. I kind of think that it's been like a week, you know, kind of thing.
It's only me that comes into the office. My managing director, Bill, whose husband is a physician. He's a medical director of a hospital. The hospital asked all their medical teams to have their partners and their family members self-quarantine because they don't want the medical directors or any of the frontline people to be affected by any reason. So Bill was like, hey, I'm going to be working from home. Bill's okay. Bill's great. And I said, you know what? Absolutely. I mean, we talk on the phone anyway. So I don't know if it's the new norm, but right. For the festival, it's business as usual. But we'll talk about some of the other festivals around the world and the country that business is not as usual right now.
Right. And I do think that although my comedy schedule has completely cleared for the next few months, you know, the foreseeable future, there are other things that are still out there that, you know, I was able to pivot to at home. And back to your version of self-quarantine, what we decided to do in our household, and you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this since we're both parents, my son is with me full time for the time being because his dad, my ex-husband, is a plumber and he's still working. And so they need him to be working. They've asked him to keep working. But one of the difficult things was already the transition back and forth for our kiddo. And so it made most sense because of the way my schedule is, because I'm full time working from home, except for one of the radio station gigs that I have. It's easier for me to pivot. I have the time to do the homeschooling and to work with him appropriately. We won't have to worry about that transfer. And basically, you know, once we have the house set up, we don't have to worry about, you know, any sort of like weird house cross-contamination. And, right. You know, my ex, honestly, he brought over some stuff. And because he knows that he's still most likely to be out and about, what we ended up doing is he brought a bunch of stuff over and dropped it off, you know, for our kiddo and me. And like he has to go to like things like grocery stores and shopping. So he's been bringing it over to the house. And this might be overkill, but that's what we're doing now is he puts it on the front porch. I bring it and I sterilize everything as it comes in, just because we are trying to make sure that we are being as cautious as possible. And he's trying to fix it, you know, similar to you, like you're the only one in your office. He's trying to make sure that even as he's working at certain locations, he's trying to be as much as possible the only person on site while he's working. And I think
it's so important that it's needed right now, right? I mean, nobody can go out there to Home Depot and grab things. They'd rather call somebody in to just take care of it.
Right. Exactly. And I do think that brings us to a lot of the things that we wanted to cover today on this particular episode of Be Our Geek. We appreciate you guys listening. I hope that we sound lovely in your earbuds as you're listening. But it is a matter of how quickly things changed and how it's put a lot of brakes on things, even in Hollywood, and how much that's going to affect it, because that Hollywood economy is a major player in everything. And so I was reading some stories, not only about all of the projects that were put on hold, but all of those workers that are now sitting there going, okay, what am I going to do?
It's all gig-based, right? I mean, it's independent contractor left and right. So those crewmen or crew women are out of, they don't have any jobs because literally everything is shut down. So even their even if a film that they're working on now, as a PA, a cinematographer, what have you, a line producer, they had projects that were lined up, but those are also getting pushed. So they literally have nothing. And the arts in itself overall are so, again, what we don't know is what we don't know, but these individuals are living off of specific projects on any given time. So I think what this is actually doing is putting that spotlight on those type of professions from a most positive light, to be like, look at what these people provide you. Look at what they do. And by the way, if something like this happens, they're SOL.
Right.
You know, and how can we as, again, I'm in the arts, you're in the arts, but somebody who's just, you know, in the accounting field or a lawyer, they can have a different perspective on gig workers and the gig economy. I mean, the Icon theaters, you know, the movie theaters are shutting down.
Right.
And all of those individuals are hourly.
Right.
You know? So they're filing in line just like everybody else. The majority of the people who are in that same boat at the unemployment lines.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment is, you know, 35% of your total take-home paycheck. That's not enough for hourly workers to even pay rent.
Right.
Let alone try to go find toilet paper for some reason.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this is it the new norm? I don't know. Is it a hybrid? Is this something that will come out of it? Will be a hybrid? I think so. I think it's more likely than not that this is going to feed into the hybrid society that we'll be living in. You know, as you look at movie theaters shutting down and Onward, I just saw that Onward is the Pixar film that just got released. My son and I went to go watch that movie in the theater a week and a half ago.
Right.
With like nobody else sitting around us. And we're like, let's just go to a movie. And we did. And we had a great time. And that's going to get released on Disney Plus on April 3rd.
Right.
And, everybody's pivoting. Everybody's taking risks. Because right now is the time to take risks. And nobody's going to judge you for that. You're doing what you can to quote unquote pay your bills. My wife mentioned this. She was like, everybody's in the same boat. This hasn't happened in our generation where there's more leniency.
Right.
There's more empathy. There's more understanding. There's more leeway from all aspects. Like somebody, and there's more help. Actually, I've noticed this over the last week, and my wife has too. More and more people are actively reaching out to each other and actually are talking, right? Because what does life do in normal days? Is you get busy with work and you have your priorities, which is your family, and then some close-tiered friends. But then all these other individuals and other connections you've made along the way, you're not focused on them because, again, they're not your priorities because everything is so busy. Right now, everybody's reaching out to everybody.
Right.
Just to make sure you're okay. Just to make sure, hey, I got 10 minutes. Do you want to talk? How's it going?
Right.
So it's almost that reset on humanity that I think is important to look at right now.
Right. And I also think it's good to bring up the fact that it's also very frustrating for a lot of us that work in this particular industry, because as I was talking to one of my friends who's an executive producer on NBC Universal show, and we were talking about what's so frustrating is that if we could get these projects created, we do probably have room to get more traction on some of these things. And this would be content that people would find of value and would like right now, but we're shut down like everybody else, where we can't work because there's a safety concern and we can't have crews on set. So not only are we not reaping that monetary benefit right now, this is something where I'm like, okay, people are looking for content. We would be able to provide it. Some of these shows might actually get more traction and more ratings than they would have, because people are going, what can I watch? So I am curious as well to see how a lot of this content ends up pivoting and what we end up doing.
For me, my organization is an arts exhibition organization. And what we are focused on is to showcase amazing visual media content to consumers. And there's, of course, we'll talk about pass the password. We do enough of, you know, there's enough things to watch, but there's that new discovery piece. And for us, for me to start a film festival was to physically bring the community together.
Right.
To like an experience. And I think, when was it, a week ago, less than a week ago, Con postponed.
Yes.
Another local festival in town, local as in Minnesota Festival, the International Film Festival, which happens in April. Now they're postponed indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I think, Tribeca Film Festival in New York. That got postponed.
Right.
I think indefinitely as well. So I feel bad for everybody involved, the organizers, but I really feel bad for those content creators who are waiting for that opportunity to showcase their work to the world.
Right.
Now, what can we as exhibitors help them with? How can we help them continue to feed their content into the world? So there's a lot of industry conversations happening right now within the festival world of, because there's a standing rule of, like, if your film is online, you cannot premiere it at a festival because it's available for anybody to watch.
Right.
There's rules. There's like that bending of the rules that are happening right now to be like, hey, if this film played at Tribeca online, it would still qualify to play for your festival, your online. And there's like petitions and things happening right now on relaxing those rules and what filmmakers can submit and all that fun stuff. But again, I put this Facebook random. I barely do any kind of personal, political or anything. All my Facebook posts are literally like Twin Cities Film Fest, you know, shared events. But I put a sentence out there saying, you know, hardship breeds innovation. And for us, it's to look at the hand that we're dealt and let's see what the humanity can come up with right now. So we are actually launching, again, this isn't the beta test, but we're going to launch TCFF Visual, a virtual cinema.
Right.
So what we're going to do, again, it's being worked on right now, hopefully by in a week and a half or so, we'll be able to give access to consumers to watch TCFF alumni films were premiered at our festival or other films that currently don't have distribution on our website.
Right.
And it's a pay for play kind of a thing. And one of the key things that we discussed internally was we're not a Netflix, right? We're not a Hulu where you just buy $7.99 a month and you can have access to tons and tons and tons of stuff. Our premier focus with this is to continue to feed our artists. So we're actually doing a revenue split
right. With
our artists. And the revenue split that we're going to do with our artists is 10 times more than what they would get on a VOD release, on a Hulu or streaming of any sort, because we want to give our consumers the content that we've already curated in the past that they might have missed, opportunity to relive it, see it again, or see it for the first time, at a nominal fee of like $6, right? So lower than what you normally would buy something on iTunes for a limited time. And then know that majority of that is going to go towards the artists.
Right. And as an artist, I know that I was talking to some of my performer friends, and we had some shows that were, you know, on the schedule that were like, okay, are we going to be able to do this in the iteration that we had planned, you know, specifically for some shows we had planned in May? And back to your conversation about that gig worker, we're also concerned about so many of our friends that worked at these venues. So, you know, for us, this particular venue, we're like, well, is there some way that we could do, pare down and change our performance to something that we could live stream? And we could change it, and so it would be different. And that's a whole different mentality. And a lot of what we were doing before was all based on having actual bodies at things and going, well, we don't know how soon we will get back to that. And if we get back to it, we're already going, well, even if we got back to the most people we want in a room at a time is 50 because we can spread them out, what does that look like when normally we'd be going, the more bodies, the better? Now we're going, okay, do we do multiple shows? What's better for the venue? What's better for people? And what can we do by then? And just trying to talk that through. And I think that it's difficult, and I appreciate what you're doing right now, because it's difficult because we're starting to have these conversations when the scenario is still changing on a daily basis. And so we're going, okay. Yeah.
It's rapidly changing.
Right. So we're like, okay, well, there's no point.
We're going to be in a national lockdown next week.
Exactly. And so there's no point in us, you know, we're trying to go because people like to feel like they're accomplishing things. We are those people as well, where we want to go, okay, we're still talking about it and not completely in wait and see mode. So it's a series of plans. Like, it could be this or it could be that. And I think that is a good point to be able to kind of communicate that to your quote unquote team. Like, when I'm talking to my little group that we were going to do this production on, I think it's good for me as their quote unquote leader, as the lead on this project, to be able to go, yeah, we're thinking it through and I'm sorry that you guys are hurting just like the rest of us. And we'll, you know, as soon as we can figure something out, we're trying to figure something out. And that's hard. That's difficult right now.
Very hard. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife, who's an independent contractor, she teaches yoga.
Mm-hmm.
This has actually gotten her energized to find different ways to still practice yoga, teach her students. And because of social distancing, she taught her classes online.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually saw an uptick in the amount of students that she had, because now she's not necessarily screen adverse, but she's not a fan of screens. She's very much like, let's do the classes together in person. She like to adjust as you need. But this is opportunity for her to, again, you're put against the wall. You got to do your classes. People have already paid. This is the new reality. What are you going to do? So she figured out the Zoom technology.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's figured it out, she's able to spread the word. And now people from across the country who are her friends or other family members are also saying, finally, I can take your yoga class.
Right.
She's seeing an uptake, and there's messages that are coming her way saying, hey, would you do something for seniors? Hey, would you do something for, my kids are home all day.
Right.
Could you do something for, parents and kids to break it up, like, you know, half hour or whatever. So I think there's opportunity there. But again, it's a matter of like, this is the reality now. Who knows what this is going to be in a month?
Right. And I do think it's good that we are seeing those kind of innovation stories right now, because otherwise it would be very difficult. I think it'd be very easy, especially for all of us who kind of live in this geek community, to drop into that. We're already in a dystopia. Everything's gone to hell, because we've all seen the movies. Like, I was at my mom's house yesterday because I'm trying to figure out, like, what's our hub? Like, what can we do? I do have to occasionally leave the house. We're like, okay, well, we can try and figure out how these two spokes work, how my house is a certain ecosystem and my mom's house is a certain ecosystem, so that my kid can go to grandma's. You know? Yeah, and she was kind of a homebody anyway, so she's not that stressed out. Like, of all the things to watch, she decided we're going to start watching all these pandemic movies. And my sister and I are like, no, we are not watching this movie.
You're not like, going to binge, like, you know, Contagion and Outbreak.
No! That's exactly what she wanted to do. That is exactly what my mom, you know, shout out, love you, Kay. That's exactly what she was trying to do. Like, the one that she pulled out, she actually ended up, after we went through the whole list of all those, she settled on the old school Dustin Hoffman, Morgan Freeman, outbreaky one. And I'm like, I don't want to watch all these people get sick and die. Mom, no. And she looked at us like we were crazy because we didn't watch. She's like, it's just a movie. And my sister and I are both like, Mom, please stop.
Like, we get enough of that.
Right.
Bombarded on from all, like, anything you turn to, they're talking about.
Right.
Well, we're the virus. So you don't, again, it's, do you want to enhance that anxiety within you, or do
No.
you want to go the opposite direction? Like, we've been binging, we got Disney Plus, so, you know, we watched Lady and the Tramp last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so again, the newer version, not the older one. You know, we let our 5-year-old decide what movie, you know, to watch. But there's enough of, like, I'm binging on my shows at night, right?
Right.
So I'm doing Picard. Right now.
Right. And I finally started watching Picard after, you know, that's what we settled on yesterday after we took the remote away from my mother. And we started watching that. So I think you said you're up to episode 3, right?
I'm up to 3. So you want to talk about this a little bit?
We can talk about that, so we can go and move into our Pass the Password segment. I am up to episode 4, I believe, in Picard.
So you say you've seen four, or you are?
I've seen, just about to see four, I believe. I believe.
So I just finished three. So I'm literally an episode behind you.
Okay.
So my only thing with Picard is it took me an episode and a half to untangle a few things.
Which things? And so everybody, I'm just going to say, if you haven't watched it, I encourage you to watch it if you're planning to watch it. So we are going to, over the first couple of episodes, just because Jayden and I haven't had a chance to catch up, we are going to do some spoilers right now, and I'll see if I can help you at all. So if you have not watched the first three episodes of Picard, and you are so worried that we are going to spoil it for you, you can come back in a couple of minutes. So what did you find so tangly, Jayden?
I needed to get a little bit more clarity around after the first episode when he found out that the Data's daughter came. Yes. and she, you know, died. And then she has a sister and whatnot. The two people that were living, that are currently living with Picard,
mm-hmm.
I was a little curious as to why they were there, why they're all living together. They were from that, I keep forgetting the name. Is it the
Romulans?
Kuzmaj?
Yes.
Yeah. I needed to untangle that a little bit. And I think by the middle of the second episode, it got a little bit more clear, for me. But I think the cast is great.
So we'll catch up. I do like the sentimentality. And this is something that I remember when my friend and I, who went to the panel at New York Comic Con that was about Picard, and we got to see Sir Patrick Stewart talk about the show before it was released, where he talked about how it really was a continuation of the story. It's, you know, time has passed, here's where these characters are. And I think that even the Picard series explains, and this part I laughed at, because there's a part where they go, hey, he needs to get a team to accomplish something. So they go, you can call LaForge, you can go get Riker, you can get Troy. Right. And he says, no, because they'll come with me just because. And that's not fair.
I don't have to convince them.
Right. You know, and so I do think it's interesting that he says no, because basically he's going to go drag his friends into this dangerous mission. So instead he decides to go and get a whole new team of people to get involved in this dangerous mission. That part I think is interesting.
You do feel in the first couple of episodes that this was a blessing in disguise for him.
Oh, yes.
Like he needed to be out there. You know, he belongs up there in space,
right?
And discovering. So I thought that was very well spotlighted, is his want to go on another mission, go one last mission. I actually really like the new character Narek.
Yes.
He's complicated. He's got a couple of different agendas that he's working through, but I thought his presence and his depth actually adds a lot to the story as well.
He kind of looks a little too like the guy who plays the new Spock in Discovery.
Oh, yes.
That's the only thing.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I found disarming about the whole thing. I think he's a great actor. I think I do like him because he's kind of, and it was interesting because he was on the actor who plays him, and I can't remember his name right now, was on the panel, the Picard panel at New York Comic Con. And people were like, yeah, he's kind of the worst, you know, kind of thing. But you couldn't really explain, because he's one of the quote unquote villains in the show.
Right.
But you couldn't really explain it. They were just like, yeah, you like me now, but you know, standing up here, but yeah, you're not gonna be too big of a fan after a while.
Yeah.
You know, because he is kind of a snake. But I do like using the word sentimental, because it is very much about how Picard is still going through this exploration. And it's a very flawed character, although he is a flawed character that we choose to champion. He was so on the side of right, but also so proud that he made some mistakes.
He's always had an aura of nobility.
Yes.
Around him. He's always had the presence of control. right? If everything else is going to shit, Picard's in control.
Right.
He's obviously had the experience to pat himself on the back many times over and getting things right. He's also a huge proponent of doing right from a Federation standpoint.
Right.
You know, he's very much the truth is the truth. Federation follows that. And if the Federation Fs up on it, we should also hold the Federation accountable.
Right.
I think that's one of the reasons he got kicked off the Federation. Like, he got asked to, quote unquote, retire earlier.
Well, I mean, but he talks about how he walked in there and said, either you do what I say or I'm retiring. And they went, well, then go. And I think that that's the way that this show is set up.
Is that ego? Well, he also said that he didn't think they would take him up on it.
Right.
That's ego.
Right. And that's what I think is so interesting about this show. If you look at Next Generation from 20 years ago, it was so based in the way that they write those episodes were. The side of the Enterprise is always going to win, and Picard is always going to figure it out, and they're always going to follow through, and he'll make these giant speeches, and the Federation is going to do what he says. So the fact that we flash forward and we go, nope, and we pull into the movies and go, nope, we make mistakes, and he makes mistakes. Right. That's what I think is so interesting about Picard, is that they go, yeah, all that stuff that used to happen, because that's the way TV shows were made back then, you know, big bad of the week, we always win, we always champion, it'll work. Now we're going, yeah, we know that was silly. That's not how we do things anymore. And I think we can do that now with the way that we do storytelling and these new things, is that you have anti-hero shows. You have shows where we have super flawed characters, and that's the point of it. When before, we kind of didn't write stories to be that way. It was, if you're the white knight, you're always the white knight. And watching the other characters admit how Picard let them down, and he has to deal with that. And has to go, well, how do I continue on? And even the mission, like, the thing that I like about Picard, the show Picard, is you're looking at it going, do you really need to be doing this? You know, kind of thing. Like, okay, these people are following you, but maybe they're right that this is, again, more hubris, more, you know, you going out and getting involved when you shouldn't, you know. And I think that's interesting. I like that tension.
Yeah, I haven't read the trades much on the show, because I kind of wanted to get my own thoughts and perspective around it. Now that I'm a little bit into it, I'll read a little bit more of some of the trades and what is, again, what's the chatter out there.
Right.
So I think there's more chatter out there now on, like, how it quote-unquote ends. I'm curious.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely behind. Like, but we're always behind in TV shows.
And I'm okay. screw them. I'm taking it. But I'm curious as to if there's going to be, is there a plan for season two?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
Okay.
That is already out.
Right.
Or will already come out. So it's, that part I do think is interesting as well, is going, okay, when are things going to be available again? You know? And, you know, there's things that I guess we're used to being able to binge like, people, remember how upset people were that it took so long for all the new Game of Thrones to start coming out, and they'd have these giant breaks. And so I think having shows that get released on a weekly basis again, and the way that they dribble things out, that part I think is going to have to change too, because that was one of the things I think people found so frustrating about the Picard series. It wasn't that they didn't like it. They didn't like that CBS All Access was trying to kind of keep these shows, and that as that old school kind of old, you know, TV mentality of, well, we drop it every Thursday or we drop it every week, when people want to be able to watch everything in a weekend if they want.
The model worked, though. You know, are people still consuming, not at their own volition, but like waiting? Just like HBO did, right? It was every Sunday,
right?
Game of Thrones. I think people are, again, their old habits of, we can only watch it when we're given access to it, versus I can watch it whatever I want.
Right.
Is that striking that balance between the two? I think there's a safe bet that it's working for from a subscription-based side, to have more consumers come in and pay. I don't even know how much CBS Access is. I just know it comes out of my bank account.
This is a very good reason as to why you and I had started doing Pass the Password to begin with, is because there were so many shows that we said that we were going to watch and we knew that we would have interest in and just hadn't. And so let's see. I do have a story here that it does look like Star Trek Discovery Season 3 may get delayed due to things that are going on. It's in post-production right now, so its release date could get delayed is what it looks like on this one. I don't see any stories at this point on Picard, but we'll make sure that we put that information on our Facebook fan page just to make sure that we're bringing everybody up to speed. Or if anybody listening has information that we don't have yet, we always appreciate that. And we encourage you to go ahead. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on Facebook. You know, we want to make sure that we make this a community action. And so if there's stuff that you need to school Jayden and I on because we're slow, it's not like we're going to get mad at you.
We are no Captain Picard. We will take the fact that we don't know everything. We'll be proud of it. And we actually, again, because there's so much to watch, it's not just upon us to tell you what we're watching and give you, you know, our feedback. I'd love it if people said, hey, have you watched, you know, the Legends of Tomorrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow on, you know, Netflix?
And what should we catch up on?
I know I haven't. I know it's on my list of things to watch. But I want to give your feedback on it. Is it worth it? Is it not? Should I give it? Again, just like Shannon and I discussed, like, we have to give it 2 episodes.
Right.
For us to decide yes or no. We want that from you as well. Is there a specific show that is on your list to start? Or should a show be on my list that you've already consumed, or at least you have started?
I think if you have not started this yet, I think you should watch. I do have a suggestion, I think, and I don't think you've watched this one. I think you should watch His Dark Materials. Have you watched any of that?
I think I saw the first episode and I liked it. There's a show that I've heard interesting things about through social media, just people posting, and it's a Netflix. It's called Tiger King.
Oh, my friend just told me about. I think it's
yeah.
It just dropped like today.
Yeah, it's a limited series. So, but I've already heard enough. Like, oh my God, we need this show right now, and I'm like, okay. I mean, and I'm looking at the trailer right now on Netflix, and it's just intriguing. Here's the tag of it. A zoo owner spirals out of control amid a cast of eccentric characters in this true murder for hire story from the underworld of big cat breeding.
Joe Exotic's Tiger King. Yes. And so my bestie had just, like, honestly, before I called you to do this podcast, had said, you need to watch this show on Netflix. And
I'll watch it. It looks like it has 7 episodes. And they're all about 40 minutes each.
She said that when she was watching it, it was every time you get to a point that you go, this cannot get more bananas. You're like, whoop, there it goes. You know, kind of thing. So she is so fascinated.
I literally binged this. I was in California in January for the Spirit Awards. And when I would go home, quote unquote, back to my apartment, I would binge the show, and the show was called, it's a Netflix true murder thing called Cat Killer or Cat something. And it's literally about this guy who murdered kittens. Oh, don't F with cats or something.
Wow.
It was intriguing. I mean, it was one of those murder mystery, like the sleuths online. So basic premise is that there's a video put out on YouTube where this guy, supposedly a guy, is suffocating kittens.
Wow.
And this is like horrible. I think it's just like graphic. And then all these sleuths online, they form Facebook communities together. They're going to hunt this guy down. They're following all these clues on these videos. And this guy is feeding them more and like more, feeding them more videos.
Wow.
And it just goes out of control.
I don't know if I want to watch kitten murderer right now. I'll think on that one. Wow.
I didn't either, but it's one of those shows that you can't stop watching.
What you, okay.
It was never not on my list to watch, right? It's definitely not on my password watch list, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to just start. I'm just going to keep going.
But when I found, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting when you find new things, because the way, like, His Dark Materials had been on my I'm going to get around to it list for months. And then at the beginning of this month, I was going to Las Cruces, New Mexico for their film festival back when we could still fly. And that was what I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to watch while I'm on the plane? And so I got through the first six episodes. And I'm like, well, I got to watch the rest of these. And so that was why I'm going, okay, I'm all on board with this. And I need to figure.
Did you finish that?
No, I'm not finished yet. So that's why I'm like, you got time to catch up. The conversation that you and I had, not just as friends, but as people who do a show like this, it's like everybody else. How do we pivot into it? How do we share our experience as human beings that are going through this just like everybody else who listens to the show? And I think that it is a matter of, yeah, you know, we are catching up on some things. And the other thing, Jayton, that I had told you, and for everybody out there, you're going to notice that we're going to have more guests again. And that's because... Honestly, a number of our friends that we had been trying to get on Be Our Geek, who we just couldn't get our schedules to line up, now time is kind of lining up. So, you know, we've got some time and we're going to try and stack as many of these perspectives in and talk to some of these people as we can, because it is interesting, I think, to be able to go, well, what are you doing with your time now? And what projects do you have? To be honest, we know some cool people and they're like, you know, call me. So we might as well do it.
I think about quote unquote the festival all the time, because it's literally, again, it brings me joy and pleasure to think about furthering the organization, and it is, I don't consider it work, but I just didn't want to think about it one day, like literally, and the one day was like our Friday morning, and I said to my son the night before Friday, I'm like, do you want to make a movie? And he was like, no, and I'm like, okay. And then he was having cereal Saturday morning, and I shot just a pan of him having cereal. And I'm like, hey, do you want to see what I just shot? And he was like, sure. And I showed it, and I was like, whoa, that's cool. I'm like, do you want to make the movie? He was like, yeah. I mean, you gotta work with their psyche a little bit. But we spent 2 hours shooting a movie. I spent another hour and a half editing it down. Nothing too extraordinary. And it's a three-minute short film that I created, and I put it on my Facebook, and I give it to my families to watch, and people are commenting like, whoa, that's cool. I'm like, well, here's the deal. We're bored. I need to connect with my son in a way that is not just playing around with toys, or it's like something else.
Right.
Right. Just that unique. What is this opportunity offering me that I could take advantage of, because I can and I want to and I have time, and this would be fun at the end of the day.
Right.
He's talking about the next movie.
Nice, nice.
You know, okay. I'm not going to force him to be a director or an actor, but it's kind of like...
But if he's, as long as he thinks it's interesting, it's interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. But these are the tools that I have, right? Like I have access to these tools and I can make it easily. So with podcast stuff, like, who would want in your family, who would want to just talk?
Right.
Like, I was thinking about, okay, do I just want to take my video camera and my lav mic and set it up in my mom and dad's house, and they're bored, and let me just interview them.
Right.
And then I'll edit it together, and this will be an experience that we can live on, and I can ask about their history. This could be an archival thing that I show at my, you know, son's 18th birthday, or hell, for me, when I'm losing my memory, I can always go watch and my mom and dad. Like, but these are the tools that you have now and have access to. I think everybody who's listening have passions that either they've put to the side or they really don't focus on. Right now is the time to be creative.
Well, as far as us being creative, we are going to try to continue to create Be Our Geek, our podcast, as often as we can. You can find us on Facebook. You can go to Be Our Geek on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email the show at beourgeekshow@gmail.com. And if you're sitting around, your phone's in your hand, we encourage you to leave us a message. You can call us at 612-276-2774. That's 612-276-2774. We'll find this episode and previous episodes at the Twin Cities Film Fest website just by going to twincitiesfilmfest.org.
Right. That's right. Yep. On that website, you'll see a couple of other things that we're working on over the next couple of months, more of a digital format of the festival. And again, our virtual cinema will be coming in the next couple of weeks, which we'll make an announcement on too. So that'll be exciting.
We appreciate you listening to the show. And remember, be our geek, because everyone is a geek about something.